Do you want me to move over a line?
Sure. That'd be great. Thank you.
This one brings you to the next. That one brings you back. And if you decide you don't work, get the arrows worked down here too, if you're more familiar with that method. Okay, hopefully more people will join us after they grab their lunch. It's always hard to compete at 12:30 against the option of eating, but we have an exciting session today. This is Improving Health Outcomes Using Promotores and Patient Navigators, and our presenters will give examples from across the country. We literally have from New Jersey to California represented on the panel today. Of how they've used this method to increase cultural competency of healthcare workers and make healthcare more accessible. So our first presenter is Dr. Martha Conkling, who is a postdoctoral research fellow with the Rollins School of Public Health at Emory, and she's in the Global Health Department and has worked in Zambia and other places, and is actually presenting research that she did in the exotic locale of rural Texas.
Good afternoon. This project, I'd like to first acknowledge the co-authors, Craig Blakely, who's here, and James Burdine, who were the two PIs on the project, and also Miguel Zuniga, who helped devise the survey from which this data was taken. I don't have any relationships to disclose. The aims of this particular study were to describe the population in the Colonias near McAllen, Texas. There have been some descriptive studies done of the population, but we wanted to see at that time point and from a larger survey what was going on in the Colonias. We did have information for demographics, some utilization evaluation measures, and data from the SF8. Also on effectiveness of promotores, there haven't been a lot of studies that look at the effectiveness of promotores, and so this survey did have three questions that we were able to use to evaluate that. They're asking about the availability of promotores, how people felt about the need for them, and whether they actually used them if they knew they were available. At the time of the survey, there were four agencies that were employing promotores in McAllen. Two were project-related clinics, Nuestra Clinica de Valle and El Milagro Clinic. Both had promotores involved in the clinic and in outreach. Also, Texas A&M had a Colonias program, which also employed promotores both for outreach and in community centers. And Planned Parenthood was operating in the area with both promotores in office and outreach, plus in the clinics in the community centers. A cross-sectional survey was used at two different time points with three colonial clusters made up of 52 colonias. Of the survey respondents, we had 1,452. I was able to use analysis data from the child surveys because the first half of that health survey was about the child's health status, but the second part was more about the caregiver's information and their attitudes. This gives the demographic statistics in the area. Education, 45% of our population had below an eighth grade education. 52% had been working at some time in the last year, but that means that 48% had not been working, and this was an unemployment statistic that was higher than that of the county in which these colonias reside, Hidalgo County, which had an unemployment at that time of 13.2%. So the percentage of unemployment with our colonial population was a lot higher. And the income level, 91% reported living below the federal poverty level for a family of four, and we were using the 2002 marker for that. In our population, 61% of the adults did not have health insurance, and 24% of the children. This was, again, very different from the U.S. average of 18% with no health insurance reported at that time. And Texas reported 31% of people without health insurance. So again, we had a much higher level of no health insurance. And we had three other questions that I was able to use as dependent variables. Whether dental, medical, or mental health service access were considered problems. And over 50% in all areas of our population felt that these were a problem. For health utilization, we had a couple of count variables. One were the number of doctor visits reported in the past year. 56% said less than three visits. This is a health professional shortage area, and it's considered abnormally low to have less than two visits a year. So our population did have 56% less than three, which would mean two or less. Emergency department visits in the last year, 97% fewer than three visits. Those people with no visits is 82%. And I've done some Poisson regressions to show how we use those variables later. Some enabling variables that were available were whether a question was asked of whether someone felt that that if they had used Promotora advice or information. And 177 people did say they had some contact with the Promotora. Fewer than we would have hoped, but that was about 14% of the population. Translation services were considered a problem by 11%, transportation a problem at 20%, and feeling disconnected with the community was another one, 10%. Our health status statistics come from the SF8, which was a part of this questionnaire. The physical component score was below 50, which is 50 and above is considered a good health measure. And the mental component score was also low, below that mean. This is a graph of our information as far as our colonias compared to both the U.S. norm and the Hispanic norm at that time. In all areas, this colonial population fell below those norms. And the same was true with our mental health scales. Results that were found after doing regressions with both of these scores. We found that people with a low level education had a lower point score for their PCS, and also those without work. These are documented in other studies, so it wasn't necessarily new, but it just shows that the trend remains the same. Those who were disabled had a physical component score 11 points lower than the norm and 8 points lower on the mental health component score. So a lack of education and work do impact physical health, and being sick or without health insurance as well. These scores showed that those people who are in their caregiving years also had lower mental health component scores, and that those who felt translation problems were a major issue also had lower mental health component scores, perhaps linked to frustration. Regressions were done with the promotoris availability. I used the logistic regression models. And those people who felt that they knew that promotoris were available, it was a little bit of a surprise until we looked at where promotoris were actually the most active in the community. It seemed initially that those people who had full-time jobs and had no problems with transportation were those who knew more about the availability of promotoris. And they were the people who also were able to seek them out and use their advice and information. When we looked at those people who felt that promotoris were needed in the area, we found that those people who were disabled and unemployed and also had transportation problems felt that they were needed. And again, so those people who were homebound, they were either disabled, unemployed, or had some kind of transportation problem were the ones that really highlighted this. And again, people who felt like an outsider in their community also felt this need for promotoris. As far as medical health service access goes, again, we felt there are three regressions that were done considering access, and this one is for medical health services access problem. And they were asked in thinking about things that are a problem in your community, would you feel that this was a problem? This did decrease if people felt by 40% for those who'd used a promotoris advice or information, which was a very good finding. It was nearly twice as high, as we said before, for people who are in their caregiving years, 35 to 64. Again, people who do not have health insurance felt there was a need for promotoris. When we looked at dental health services, again, it decreased. The odds of thinking that dental health care access was a problem decreased by 50% for people who had, again, used a promotoris advice or information. And it was almost two times as high for people with three or more comorbidities, but really dramatically increased for people who felt like they were an outsider in their community to 82%. A couple of Poisson regressions were conducted since we had the count data available to look at predictors of people who had been able to access the medical health services or the emergency department services. I looked first at, in deciding what model to use, I was able to look and compare the dispersion between the mean and the variance. There seemed to be some, so I did try a negative binomial regression, but it reduced to a Poisson, so that was what was used. And again, there were a lot of zeros, meaning a lot of people didn't visit their doctors, have preventive screenings in this particular analysis, and so a zero-inflated method was used. This just shows one of the ways you can look to see how those methods can be determined. A lot of zeros showed by the blue line compared to the red univariate Poisson. So people who expected number of preventive screenings did decrease for people who had no health insurance or had problems with transportation, getting to doctor's appointments. Those are both acknowledged as already studied, and decreased by 9% for people with three or more comorbidities. For both doctor visits and emergency department visits, I was able to do the same sorts of regressions with a much larger variation between the mean and the variance. Again, this is a graph that indicated how different the univariate Poisson would have been compared to because of the number of zeros involved. So those without health insurance, again, had a decreased expected number of doctor visits per year by about 62% versus those who have health insurance. And having three or more comorbidities increased the expected number of doctor visits by 111%. Being disabled meant that there was a 193% increased chance of visiting the emergency department, and those without health insurance were 61% less likely to have sought out treatment in the emergency department, which is an interesting finding and has been written up by others. So the significant findings and policy implications were that those that I've highlighted so far, but mainly here, if people know about Promotoris, if they are available, then they will use them to gain information and advice. Here, people who worked full-time were more likely to be aware of their availability, while the homebound and disabled and those without transportation hadn't yet become aware that they were available. And this let us know that at least the Promotoris in the clinics were being successfully used. When we looked again at the number of visits to health service providers, we could see a decline, an increase in screenings if someone used a Promotoris advice, and doctor visits as well. My time is up, so I will go right to the end just to say that this was supported by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. Household surveys like this are quite expensive to do, and it can only show some sort of incremental change of introducing Promotoris into these communities. I mainly just had process indicators to go by. It was very long and only generalizable to this particular population. So thank you.
I forgot to do my typical reminders when I started the session, so please, if you have a cell phone, put it on vibrate, and if you need to take a call, please take it outside, and please be gentle with the door as you come in and out. It does bang. Our next presenter is Dr. Marion Levy, who is Associate Professor and Director of the Masters of Public Health Program at the University of Memphis. She works, her research is mainly in cultural competence, Latino health, and community-based participatory research. And she is going to talk to us today about one of those programs.